Our first scripture reading is from Psalm 30. It's page 479 in your pew Bibles. Psalm 30. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast drawn me up, and hast not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to thee for help, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. And the second reading is from Mark chapter 1. It's verses 40 and 50. It's page 868 in your pew Bibles. Mark 1, 40 to 45. And a leper came to him, beseeching him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And he sternly charged him and sent him away at once, and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to the people." But he went out and began to talk freely about it, and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in the country, and people came to him from every quarter.
Eternal God, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Years ago, when I was in seminary, I took a course that required that we seminarians spend a number of hours each week working as a chaplain in an institutional setting. I was assigned to Georgia Baptist Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, where all of us seminarians were assigned to the 8th floor of the hospital, which was the floor where most of the patients who had AIDS were being treated. Even though I knew enough about AIDS to know that you couldn't contract it through casual contact with people, I was still very much intimidated by the disease. I remember walking into the room where a man was being treated for AIDS. The man himself looked to be in his late 30s or early 40s. And unlike most of the people who were being treated for AIDS in the hospital, he had a good many of his family in the room with them. My routine was to enter a room and introduce myself as the chaplain and then to pray for the patient, usually by holding the patient's hand or touching the shoulder. But that wasn't my routine on that day. Instead, I walked into the room, introduced myself, and stayed some distance from the patient's bed. I don't think I was even conscious of how standoffish I was being until one of the family members said somewhat caustically that it was all right for me to get close to the bed. It was a shameful moment for me as a Christian and also as a chaplain to realize that I had let my fears and anxieties override my compassion for this man who was suffering from AIDS. I was intimidated not so much by the medical condition itself, but by the social stigma that was attached to it. In my mind, the man was not just sick, but he was unclean. And I didn't want to become unclean, and so I didn't want to get too close, didn't want to touch him. In our gospel reading for this morning, Jesus has been going throughout all of Galilee, preaching and healing and casting out demons. In the midst of all this kingdom activity, we are told that Jesus encounters a leper, a man with leprosy. And we can imagine the man coming towards Jesus, his clothes ragged, his hair disheveled, his skin ravaged by disease, certainly not the kind of person that you would want to get too close to. And we should point out that in the Bible, leprosy was not just one disease, but it was a number of diseases that affected the skin. Some of those diseases were relatively minor and temporary, and some of them were more serious and long-lasting. But the point about leprosy was not just its physical manifestation, but the fact that it rendered you ritually unclean. The presence of leprosy meant that you were not just sick, it meant that you were sinful. It meant not just your skin was ravaged, but your soul was ravaged. You were being punished by God. You were unclean and untouchable. Lepers couldn't live in the same village. They couldn't live in the same house, sleep in the same bed with other people. Again, not because they were ill, but because they were considered to be unclean and sinful. And therefore, they had to be separated from the rest of the people so they would not contaminate others with their sin and their uncleanness. Simply to touch someone who had leprosy meant that you also became unclean. So lepers had to live alone, outside the camp, outside the village, ostracized from society, separated from people they loved. Whenever anyone approached them, they had to put their hand over their lips and cry, "Unclean! Unclean!" But somewhere, somehow, this leper in the text that Krista read from this morning had heard good news. He had heard that God's kingdom was breaking into the world. He had heard that there was someone named Jesus who was casting out demons and healing the sick and bringing God's love and forgiveness even to sin-sick souls like his own. And so he musters all the courage and hope that he has, and he comes before Jesus and kneels before Jesus. In Mark's gospel, that's what faith is. Faith is willing to do whatever it takes to get close to Jesus, because Jesus is the one who brings the kingdom, God's kingdom, God's kingdom of restoration and new creation, God's kingdom where there is no more pain, no more sickness, and no more tears. That's what Jesus' healings are all about. They're not just individual private events, but they portend the breaking of God's kingdom into the world. They're acts of new creation that foretoken the resurrection and eternal life. This leper wants to live in the kingdom, and so he comes to Jesus and kneels before Jesus, and he says, "Sir, if you will, you can make me clean. You can do it. No one else can do it, but you can do it. The doctors can't do it. The priests can't do it. No one else can do it, but you can do it if you will, if you choose to do it. You can make me clean." Remarkably, Jesus doesn't say what some of us might have said if we were back then. He doesn't say to the man, "You know, I'm holy. You need to get away from me because I'm holy and you're unclean, you're sinful. Don't you know that I'm holy? Don't you know that you are to announce your coming before you get near to me? You're to announce that you're unclean. I'm holy and you're unclean. I'm from God and you're a sinner." Jesus doesn't say any of that. Neither does Jesus condemn the man. Instead, we are told that Jesus is filled with compassion for the man. Jesus tells the man, "I do choose to make you clean. I will make you clean." Jesus heals the man, but not from a distance. Jesus doesn't say from a distance, "Go be clean." I'm sure he could have said that. He could have stepped back a little bit, been somewhat reticent to get too close to the man, and he could have said from a distance, "I make you clean." But Jesus doesn't say that at all. Instead, Jesus touches the man, becomes close and intimate with the man, and the man becomes clean. By touching this man, Jesus is willing to risk becoming unclean so that this man might become clean. The loving and holy presence of God is always more powerful than what demeans and degrades us. Instead, Jesus does not become unclean, but the man becomes clean because of the loving presence of God. And Jesus instructs the man to go and not tell anyone. Don't tell anyone what has happened, he says, but go and show yourself to the priest in order to receive a clean bill of health. But this man is so overwhelmed by what has happened to him that he goes and he tells everyone that he encounters. We can just imagine what he's saying. Look, I've been made clean. I'm no longer a pariah. I'm no longer an outcast. I'm no longer an untouchable, but I've been touched by the healing power of God and I've been made clean. The end result is that Jesus and the man essentially trade places. It is Jesus now who cannot go into the cities and the villages because everyone has heard of his healing of the man. And the man who once could not go to the villages and the cities is now able to go and proclaim that he has been made clean. Perhaps like the man in our text this morning, you too have been touched by the loving and healing presence of God in your life. I know, looking back on my own life, I can recount and recall how I was touched by the presence of God's grace. I grew up in the Church of Christ. When I was 12 years old, our family started attending a little small Church of Christ not far from where we lived. We, of course, were black, and most of the people there at the church were white, most of them from a small farming community outside of Springfield, Missouri. But my mother and my mother's sisters were comfortable with the worship style of the smaller church, as opposed to the more formal and larger worship style of the larger church that we had been attending. But as we began to make the church more and more our own, others at the church began to leave until most of them had left. The pastor, Brother Collins, informed us that most of the people left because they did not believe that black folk and white folk ought to worship together. They thought that worshiping with black folk would make them somehow unworthy and unclean. But there were those who stayed. Three families, in fact. The pastor and his wife stayed. And it would have been quite easy for them too to have left along with everyone else, but they didn't. They stayed. And Brother Collins taught me a great deal at a young age about what it means to minister to people. He taught me about what it means to minister to those who are marginalized as I followed him, as he ministered to alcoholics in AA classes, and as he invited a number of people who were often down and out on their luck into our church, and they became a part of our church family. The elderly lady whose husband had founded the church, she too stayed, and she would become a big support in my spiritual life. And there was also the Reese family. They too stayed, all three generations of them. The elder sister Reese, the 74-year-old lady who taught me Sunday school, much of what I learned and know about the Old Testament I learned from her. And there was also her son Tom, who used to take me and my brothers out to his farm during the summertime so that we might be able to experience some of the virtues of farm life. All of these people not only embraced me, but they touched me deeply with the grace and love of God. And I'm here before you today, for better or for worse, because of their example. In fact, they not only touched my life, but I'm sure that I was healed of some of the animosities and deep resentments that I might have had otherwise. It was because of their loving and healing presence that I am stronger and a better person and a more faithful Christian today. Of course, leprosy is not an issue for us today, at least not in this country. We might be tempted to believe that with all of our modern scientific knowledge that we have somehow progressed beyond seeing people as being spiritually unclean because of their illness or because of some other factor that we are uncomfortable with. But the fact of the matter is that even today there are people who would rather not see and rather not touch certain people, not just because they are ill, but because we see them as being spiritually unclean or morally unclean. People who perhaps are even deserving of their plight. People that we see suffering their plight because of the judgment from God. And that brings me back to the topic of AIDS. Because on the whole, we Christians have not been very Christ-like when it comes to dealing with people who have AIDS. It's not only true in this country, but it's the case around the world. We have not responded to the crisis in a Christ-like fashion. Some years ago, when I was in West Philadelphia, I was contacted by a health organization whose task it was to inform the public about the high incidence of AIDS in the city of Philadelphia, especially in some of the city's minority communities. The statistics they cited were quite alarming. I can't remember them exactly today, but I do remember them saying that AIDS was the number one killer of young African-American women between the ages of 25 and 34. And it was had the fastest growing rate of incidence for women in their 50s and 60s. And so young people, and indeed everyone, abstinence is really the best policy outside of being in a loving and committed marital relationship. AIDS is a very dangerous disease to take casually. And so the policy is the one that we often advocate from church councils, and it is that the best policy is to be in a married relationship, a committed relationship, where you and your partner are committed to one another and do not go outside of the marriage bonds. That's an important message that needs to go out. But this same organization wanted to use space in the church in order to disseminate other information about AIDS. They wanted to make sure that the community had all the facts and was able to protect itself. And we discussed it in church and eventually allowed them to use space in the church to disseminate information. But I remember that there were those in the congregation who had very strong opinions against it. They didn't want the church to be too closely associated with those kind of people, people with AIDS. They thought that it might give the church a bad reputation and a bad name if people suffering with AIDS was seen as being a part somehow of the church. People who abused drugs or people who were considered to be sexually immoral didn't want to be close to those kinds of people. Didn't want those people to be close to the church. We didn't want to in any way involve our lives with those kinds of people. And I wonder where we ever got the idea that as God's people, we are not to involve our lives with even those whose suffering is the result of their own profligacy. We certainly didn't get it from Jesus. Jesus showed compassion for all of those who approached him. And in fact, for Jesus, being holy was not separating himself from other people, but for Jesus, being holy meant reaching out and touching other people, especially touching those who needed to have their sins forgiven and needed to be made whole again. for those who needed to be most assured of God's love for them. Sometimes I wonder what kind of situation we would have today if many of us in the church would show the same kind of compassion that Jesus showed. What if the face of the church, instead of being a face of condemnation, had been a face of compassion? What if the face of the church, instead of being concerned about its holiness, its own holiness, demonstrated what really holiness is all about by reaching out and touching those who were suffering from AIDS? What if the church had a genuine heart of concern for those in our society who is considered unclean? The fact of the matter is that all of us were at one time unclean. All of us were outcast. All of us were separated from God. None of us were able to be connected to what is good and true and holy. We were all unclean. We were all untouchable. We all deserve to be ostracized. We all deserve to be separated from God. We all deserve death. We all deserve that. None of us is worthy. But Jesus touched us. God touched us. Not because we were good, not because we were deserving, but God touched us because we needed to be touched. God touched us because we needed to be connected to God. God touched us because we needed to be forgiven. God touched us because we needed to be made clean. We needed to be made whole. We needed that. And God, through Christ, gave us what we needed. And Jesus wasn't so concerned about being holy that he didn't want to have anything to do with us. But Jesus came down into the very midst of all of our uncleanness. He came down into the very midst of all of our dirtiness. He came into the very midst of all of our muck to be with us, to touch us, to forgive us, to reconcile us to God. We were all unclean, but because God touched us, we too are now part of the household of God. In the same Georgia hospital mentioned earlier, a young chaplain walked into another room where a patient was suffering from AIDS. A beautiful young African-American woman with an infectious smile. The chaplain introduced himself, and after some initial small talk, the young woman began to open up about her condition. She'd been in the hospital for several times as a result of her illness. But she confided that the worst part was the loneliness. She felt that her family had virtually disowned her. She had moved from Detroit to Atlanta in order to live with her father. But when he found out that she had AIDS, he put her out because of his own fears. She didn't dare go to church because in some ways she feared the judgment of others, but also she thought that judgment was fitting. She felt that because of the lifestyle that she lived, that God was judging her and that she was getting what she deserved. After listening, the chaplain moved close, stretched out his hand, and touched her hand. He prayed for her, and then he kissed her on the forehead, and he whispered to her that the kingdom of God was for her. And so it is for all who feel estranged, for all who feel outcast, for all who feel unclean. The kingdom of God is for you. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have reminded us that in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the kingdom has come in our midst. The good news of your new creation among us. Lord, we know that we receive that good news in a world where people are often suffering, in a world where people often feel lost, in a world where people are often unclean and made to feel unclean. We give you thanks that you have touched us, that you have made us whole, that you have made us clean. And we ask, Lord, that you help us too to show our joy and thanksgiving by extending that same love and forgiveness to others who we come into contact with. Help us to see your humanity in those that we objectify by giving them names like leper or AIDS patient, and yet failing to see their true humanity as people made in your image. Help us to carry the good news of your kingdom and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the hearts of those who desperately need to be assured that you do love them and care for them and forgive them. Help us, too, to touch those around us with your loving presence, with your grace, and with your care and concern for their lives. Help us to be the beloved community that you have called us to be. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.